This is where we hold them! This is where we fight!
Now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.
Rob, what's good, homie?
Yo, Mike, yo, check it out, Mike. Tonight I'm representing my probably the most positive bowling that I experienced that I had in 2023 was the bowling league that I bowl, that I complain about every week. But this jersey doesn't represent the bowling, actually, what I did in Mesa. It was the team that I bowled with. And, you know, the friends that I made bowling with, the Bad Boys. And that was my most positive experience of my bowling year in 2023. Just getting to know people, man. Just camaraderie, making friends. But I'll never bowl a Bolero Mesa ever again in leagues.
No tables.
Oh, no tables. Fucking crazy amounts of carry down. Crazy amounts of carry down. I mean, you know, for me to finish, I think 222 was like unbelievable. I don't even know how I did that. But I think I was after like 10 weeks, 204 or something stupid like that. But yeah, you know, it definitely was.
You set the tone for our show tonight. Right, with your little opening there, you set the tone because it's our 2023 rap show. You know, I don't think we're going to be on next week. I'm not going to be around on Thursday night of next week. I got plans. Almost every day I'm busy through this whole holiday break that I have. So
yes,
won't
be next time we're on.
Yeah, not anticipating doing a show next week. So this is this is our yearly wrap show. You know, we're going to use this to wrap up the year. And when we come back in January, we'll be starting the new year with some new PBA action not too far in the future from there. So definitely excited about that. But tonight, it ain't about 2024. It's about 2023. And it's about wrapping up the year. But we have some things to get to first before we start to wrap things up. This is something we didn't discuss, Rob. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't even look at them yet.
I don't care when they release it. I don't care.
Yeah, if
they
release I don't it really
an hour care. Prior or a year.
I mean, to me, it would seem like a big deal, but from what the high level bowlers tell me, it's not that big of a deal because you never know what is going to happen until you get out on those surfaces and actually throw it. So
Mike, they're different every year, regardless if they put the same pattern or same building. They're different. I mean, they'll be similar, but they're different. Always they're different.
Yeah, also I don't
who's playing and your pair and you
those patterns don't strike me as patterns that you're gonna find something to unlock like a super look that's gonna allow you to do things that other people aren't or can't. You know what? They're usually a grind no matter what. So,
yeah, I think it would be a bigger deal if they released the U.S. Open Championship pattern. To me, that would be a bigger deal. I know Jeff Riggles has been really, really trying to get that, get that done for a while, right? Like, them not releasing the U.S. Open Championship pattern is definitely a bigger debate and a bigger topic than releasing it for the U.S. Open. Nico puts in the chat, Rob Gatcho runs these tournaments, got a job with a ball company. I mean, Rob Gatcho originally started his career at doing ball companies. I mean, I know Rob Gatcho. He's a friend of mine. I've known him since the Mega Buck days when he bowled. Great bowler in his own right, Rob Gatcho. Could have been on tour. Probably should have been on tour. But, his career started as a ball manufacturing, working with doing ball rep in that aspect with Hammer and Ebonite. So, you know, good to see him going to probably where he is probably more knowledgeable and probably more comfortable in that side of the industry. So, you know, if I see him, I'll definitely congratulate him. And I was hoping to see him maybe at the Masters in March, but
that what ball? What ball company?
I don't know. I don't know. To be honest with you, I would imagine he's back with Brunswick. I mean, he's really only got a few options, but I don't know.
Out there, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. If anybody knows in the chat, I'd be interested if that was different than Brunswick. If he went to Storm, I'd be really interested in that to see in what context he was working there. What he's doing? Is he ball repping? Is he working in like research design? I mean, there's so many different probably roads he could have went. But yeah, we'll see. Good for Rob though. Good guy too.
No doubt. So, Rob, we'll kick it off with the last league review of 2023. Had some excitement in the league on Tuesday night. Got to give a shout. Okay. Yeah, got to give a shout. Got to give a shout to a longtime bowler of the sport league and a regional player and a regional titleist and a really good bowler in any aspect. Lou Gaudio.
Lou Gaudio. I would have guessed it. Okay. I would have guessed it if you asked me because I didn't even know. What did he bowl?
811. 811 on Broadway version 2, 35 feet. Yeah. Switching pairs all three games with different people on each pair each game.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, kind of doesn't get harder than that. And yeah. if you saw kind of the field, so to speak, like, you know, not everybody's playing them the way that you should. Well, to make
could
it
I guess
easier.
Could I guess what he was throwing?
Yeah, go ahead.
35 foot. He's not a staffer, is he?
No, shockingly. Okay. I mean, that's okay. You know what? It's hilarious to me because like, there's a few guys who do have like little patch pirate deals around our area where we bowl. And none of them show up and bowl on Tuesday night. And he's there every week, bowls regionals, makes cuts, cashes in regionals, bowls really well around area.
Yeah, he's always been good bowlers.
And it's ridiculous. But go ahead, What do you think he was throwing?
Purple Hammer?
No.
Pitch Black?
Nope. I'll give you this.
35 feet.
It was a Hammer product. It was a Hammer product.
Urethane?
It was urethane.
Ooh, but it wasn't a Purple Hammer.
It was not a Purple Hammer.
A pink one? Pink. A Pink Widow?
Yeah. Pink Widow, yeah. Pink Widow all night. And, man, some impressive shit. I'm serious. I forget what his game. I know he shot 268 or something the first game, 267 the first game, and 289 the last game. He went front 10, 10 pin the last game. Miss Messenger on the 10 pin. And, you can figure out what the middle game was, but 8-11 for three. Only the second time I've seen somebody in that league, and this is going back to when it was an actual league, shoot 800, you know? So always impressive to see that.
What up, Roger? Cool. We're on the big screen. Y'all live on TV in the bowling league.
All right.
That's cool. I like that, man. Yo, what up?
What's up, everybody? League bowlers.
What up to all the Patch Pirates out there? Y'all doing?
Yeah, so it was awesome to see that. And like I talk bowling a lot with Lou. I would consider Lou he's somewhat of a bowling historian. I don't know if he wants me to say this or not, but he runs the Facebook page Where Have All the Bowling Alleys Gone. That's quite a popular Facebook page. So he's definitely like, you know, bowling historian, old school bowler. So it was really cool to see. I mean, not so cool because I wasn't paired with him at all throughout the night. And, you know, obviously if you were paired with him, you had a pretty good shot at the doubles. And yeah, obviously beat up on all of us in the scratch pot, snuck me out in a card game as well. I had a full house in two out of the three card games, fives over sixes, same thing both times. And yeah, he snuck me out in one of the card games too. So, bit of a frustrating night for me, but it was cool to see Lou shoot 800, 811. Shout to him. That was some amazing bowling. He's getting ready to bowl. He's bowling the PBA 50 World Series. So keep an eye out. Definitely keep an eye out. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he was one of those guys who, like, we've seen this on the PBA 50 tour, you know, where guys, you know, find something they match up on. They bowl well for the week. they make a run. You know, sometimes they close the deal. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Very good player. So shout to Lou. For myself, I think he beat me by about 200. I think I shot about 611. I bowled like a dog. I just bowled like a dog. Yeah, I just missed spares. First game, we probably should have won the doubles. I bowled with Tommy Dacovanis, another good player who bowls our sport pot thing, and he shot like 235 the first game. And yeah, I probably should have won that doubles, and I opened in the 10th to lose us. And he shot at that. And yeah, you know, just didn't bowl well. I mean, I threw it okay. To me, it's an easier pattern. You just urethane and let it go. Slow. Gotta be slow, gotta roll it, gotta hit it hard, but urethane and just let it go. So you know, frustrating night for me. I didn't carry real well, I would say, especially on the first pair that I bowled on, but that was true of everybody on that pair. The racks on that pair were just out of control. I feel like we're watching this particular Bowlero Center kind of like fall apart in front of our eyes. Like every week it's just scoring problems, rack problems, lanes broken. They still have one pair that's not working. So, yeah, you know, just a little bit frustrating on that end. But, yeah, Broadway version 2, definitely a pattern that personally I feel like I can go out and shoot 600 on or better, no problem. Like, no issue whatsoever. Even if my spare shooting is suspect, I'm still going to strike enough to be able to shoot, 600 or better. So, you know, it's your typical short. But, yeah, we'll be bowling again next week. I don't know if I'll be there next week. I have some plans on Tuesday and next week. So, don't know if I'll be there. If I'm home in time, I'll definitely be there because we're bowling on the medium pattern and that. I haven't bowled on that a second time, and I really like that pattern. It was very challenging, so I'd like to get back out. But yeah, you know, that's my league report for this week. Last league report of 2023, and I'll possibly have two league reports for the people when we come back the Thursday after the New Year.
Nice. I saw.
People in the chat, real quick. People in the chat saying string pins are coming. String pins are good. Yeah, listen, it wouldn't surprise me at all, fellas. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I'll be honest. I don't know where I stand on the string pin thing. I really don't.
Get a bowl on them more.
Yeah, I gotta. Yeah, you're right. I'd have to see. I mean, I'm willing to give it a chance for sure. But I definitely will say that if there's any shenanigans going on, it's going to frustrate me really quickly and make me extremely suspect of it.
I could just talk from my experience that people will cry, yell, and complain the first time or a few times they bowl on it. But after about 6 months and a year or two, it'll be a non-story. Essentially, it'll go away. There might be people who quit because of it, maybe. But I feel like the majority of the bowling community who enjoy bowling and enjoy physically making shots and getting ball reactions and, you know, all the fun things about bowling, I think will stay with it. And yeah, there might be some crap breaks, but in free fall, there's crap breaks too. I mean, how many times have you missed a head pin and struck? I mean, it happens. How many times have you tripped or threw a messenger at a 7-10? This shit happens all the time. You trip a 4-pin. You go through the nose, you strike. I mean, breaks are part of the sport. The breaks will be different, but ultimately they're going to be breaks. They're going to be breaks in free fall pins. There's breaks in string pins. It's just it kind of evens out in a way. It's a different kind of break. People, they get crazy because it's a change or it's different. I think people will get used to it. I mean, if they're going to have to, reality, they're going to have to that, or they're going to quit. So whatever, like that's,
well, the way don't worry. Be. They'll just make the ball stronger and the lanes easier, and everybody will get there. However many pins back that you know,
but it might be
from the string pins.
I keep saying it over and over about it. It might actually be beneficial to the one-handed traditional players. Because they're not going to be able, the two-handers aren't going to be able to throw messengers anymore. Like you'd be surprised. The scores might get lower. Like, and I keep saying that because I have experience on the string pins. Now, I haven't bowled on the USBC certified string pins. Anybody who says they have, it's like 15 centers in the country, right? Or something that right now are certified.
Three bet one says, what's next? Virtual pins?
Maybe it's crazy how people just don't know.
Email us and let us know who you are, please.
I know. I can't.
Tweet the racket Gmail. Come on, 3Bet. Yeah, let us know who you are, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's like completely
one of the great mysteries in my life. I know. It's one of the great mysteries in my life is who 3Bet
is. It's like Zombie Belmo. It's like we'll never, yeah, it's like, you know, we do that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, I might know who that is, actually.
Yeah, we
actually can. They're lucky I didn't choose to go at them.
Yeah, you're lucky you didn't choose violence.
Yeah, Mike says I didn't like synthetic lanes in the 80s when I first saw them. You know, that's a great point.
I didn't like hated synthetic lanes.
Oh, so did I. So did I.
Hated
I knew, up in East I Coast knew you were going to say that because you, like me, growing up in Brooklyn and growing up lanes. In Philly, wood lanes, man. Wood lanes grab is it. What I was brought up on. Grab it, grill it into the lane, hit it as hard as you can, like carry down, can't get it to hook. Like, oh man. And that was like, the first time I bowled on synthetics was probably at a JVT. And I swear to God, I felt like I was bowling on ice. I really did. I was like, this is just.
Do you remember the first time you bowled on synthetics? I remember the first time I bowled on synthetics.
You know, I don't remember the first time.
I think it was Showboat in Atlantic City.
Okay.
Showboat. I think Showboat had him in Atlantic City when we bowled a JBT, like when I was in the handicap division. It was like literally the first time I think I saw them. They were so weird. It was like, what the fuck's going on? Like I had no, like you had no feel of what the ball was making this loud crashing noise. And it was so different.
Yeah, I think. This is kind of crazy, but I think the first time I ever bowled on synthetics may have been at the Franklin Mills Mall in Philly. They had a place, like a section of the mall called the 39th Street Galleria, and they had a bowling alley inside there.
That's right. It probably was there. Staten Island at Showplace was probably the first time I bowled on synthetics. I couldn't remember. I love Showplace in Staten Island, though. What a great place that was, bowling. Just going there was such a unique experience. It's where Robert Hamilton beat me. He's in the chat. Handicap division. He crossed over like six times against me in the finals. He remembers.
I hated synthetic lanes when I first started bowling on them. I was so used to wood. And anytime I bowled good, it was all wood. You know, I rarely bowled good on synthetic lanes. And eventually what happened is the guy who owned the pro shop at the place where I grew up bowling, and he told me, like, listen, this is the future. Like, everything's going to be this. So you got to go somewhere different. You know, you can't stay here. Like, they're not going to convert to this. You know, you have to go find other places to go bowl because this is what you have to learn how to bowl on. So, yeah, I went and eventually I learned how to bowl on them and it became easier to deal with the synthetic surfaces. But I think that's somewhat of a good comparison, you know, to the string pins. I mean, I don't think it's going to be as drastic, I would think, but, you know, you probably are going to have some people that are unhappy enough with it to quit. And you're probably going to have some people that just deal with it and adjust and go from there.
So my last point on the string pins is if string pins helps the proprietors and helps the bowling centers stay open and stops bowling centers from closing down, and maybe even you'd be surprised, even encourages business owners to open up more bowling alleys and new bowling alleys, because maybe now the operating costs are cheap enough where they could see them making money, then I would be so for it. And everybody in the bowling industry should be for it. If it's going to keep bowling centers open and if it's going to actually encourage new bowling centers opening up, you know, and not just Bolero, I'm talking like private mom pop shop bowling centers. To me, those are always the best bowling centers, Mike. I will always support a mom pop shop bowling center over a Bolero center because, you know, they usually run the centers better. Because it's their only business. They care about their customers. And there's nothing better than a mom-pop shop bowling center, Mike, than an actual general manager who's a bowler themselves who runs the bowling center. You know, like it's just always those bone centers always run the best because they not only love like recreation players, but they also love their competitive bowlers in the leagues and stuff. A good example would be Bo Gergen in Northern Lanes in Midland, great bowler, Eagle winner, and owns that bone center. And he loved running tournaments. He loved high school competitions, and he, you know, ran that center great and clean, and just people loved going there and bowling. They would spend money. So, yeah. But anyway,
all right. So that was we got a little off track.
We always
there, but I know. You know, you have some bowling stuff going on too.
Yeah, I signed up to bowl the regional in Chandler, Arizona, in January. So now my bowling is going to be. I'm going to be bowling a lot in 2024, Mike. I mean, you can imagine. I start New Year's or the 31st, and then it goes regional January, the TAT in February, and then the Masters in March. So yeah, my wondering is, do I need to drill a new urethane ball for the regional?
Because what are you bowling on?
That's the thing, is I don't think they announced it yet. So okay. I'm going to wait for the announcement. If it's anything shorter, if it's 37 or shorter, I'm going to drill a urethane.
40 or shorter.
Yeah. I, you know, that house
at
hooks.
At least, anyway. I mean, if the house hooks, then 44 or shorter, you're going to need urethane. I'm serious, man.
I'm hoping the new Hammer 78 urethane comes out prior to that regional.
Black Pearl.
Yeah, because I would rather.
It's available right now if you got your card, I think.
Yeah, I don't have my guy. I could get. Okay. I'll make some calls. I think we have a friend who has got a good relationship with Hammer.
When you make that call, text me my address. Make sure you get one sent my way too. Jesus Christ.
I mean, I saw some ball review videos on the 78 IQ, the red one, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't liked the way it looked in the ball reviews, and I know you tweeted about it.
I don't really care if you liked how it looked or not. That's not the point. Okay. That's irrelevant in this discussion.
All right.
The point is,
go for it. What's the discussion?
Point? No, I'm serious. The point is, did it hook or not?
From the videos that I saw, it definitely labored in the back of the lane compared to what I've seen from other Europeans.
Really?
Yes.
Really? You think so?
My opinion. Okay. Yeah, I just watched one about a half hour ago from a former or continue a pro player, a national tour player.
Who?
So I watched. It was Mikel Holloman put out a ball through a bunch of shots on a 35 foot pattern, on a 35 foot, and I watched the way it rolled down the lane, and when it got to the back of the lane, it just did it. It just looked like it was laboring. And you know, he struck every time, of course, right? Because in every ball review video you watch, you know, most of them strike, especially, you know, the guys who are on staff. But it did not look pristine, like something that's like, oh, I need to drill one of those. There was a little bit of hesitation.
Lou commenting that he drilled one too, and he agrees. It wiggles in the back. All right, so here's my question to you and Lou, and no. No knock to you or Lou. I just gave Lou a huge shout at the opening of the show. But my question to both of you is this. That's in your hands.
Oh, everything in my hands looks terrible.
What about in the hands of a Darren Tang? What about in the hands of a Jesper Svensson? What about in the hands of
I'll tell you my opinion Belma? On that. I get what you're saying.
Lou, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that too in the chat if you're still here.
A ball that labors in the back is a ball that labors in the back. I don't care who's throwing it. They both stink. Look, let me explain.
Okay, good.
Regardless, you could be the best in the world, but even like someone like Sean Rash, who we had on a few weeks ago, was talking about he was ball testing and he was throwing a ball down the lane, and after about five shots, he threw in the garbage. So even the best in the world, someone like a Sean Rash, right, who's a Hall of Famer, right, all these titles, you know, always been, you know, in the top five, top 10 in the world, he could make a ball and look at the ball and say, this ball stinks. Now, look, I'm not saying the IQ Tour Red stinks because I haven't thrown it. The tour hasn't even started yet, right? So we can't even make a really educated, you know, opinion on what's going on until the tour starts. Just from my seeing, just from what I've seen, it just, it's just not going to be a pitch black. It's not going to be, you know, I don't think even close to what a pitch black does for a lot of the other players, to be honest.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a factor will that ball be this season?
I'm going to go ahead and probably give it about a 6.5. I think they're going to be forced to throw it. And then when they realize that it's not great, they're going to have to be forced to switch to something that's like an IQ Tour or something.
Well, then your answer should be like 2.
No, because I think there is going to be some use out of it, you know, on the really short patterns. I think it'll get some use. I think they'll definitely be able to throw it on, you know, anything that's like shorter than 30, like 7 down to whatever, 32, right? Depending on what they bowl. But I think they're not going to be able to throw it on the longer patterns, which might be a good thing.
Okay.
You know, it's how true urethane really should be. You should be only be able to throw it on 35 feet or less. You shouldn't be able to throw it on anything longer than 37 feet, really. That's why the Purple Hammer was so good in reality in the pitch black, because a lot of the tour players, especially the lefties, especially the two-handers, were able to throw it on longer patterns. Like, that's not what the ball was, I mean, really designed to do, but it was so good that they would throw it on any kind of length, any kind of volume.
Robert asking, do we think someone will win this season with the new Blue Hammer or the IQ? I think clearly Rob's answer would be no. I think that's a little bit of a tough question, Robert, because even when guys use it, they often have to get out of it before they win with it.
Correct.
Right? Correct. So I think that's a really – if I'm betting, I would definitely bet no on that.
No. And I'll tell you, I drilled a new, and I was using it, and I happened to be throwing it on a pair that has already been bowled on for an hour on a sports shot. But it was an hour bowled on sports shot. It wasn't a fresh. And I was able to throw it, and I was able to strike a few times. But then my speed picked up a little bit, I two-pinned. If my speed picked up a little bit even further, it flat-tenned or 2-8-tenned. Then I would double again, and then it would go, like, hook early, and then it would carry down. It wouldn't hook. It's not meant for the carry down. It's really not. Even a new... it's not meant for the carry down. So, yeah, you'll see him on the fresh 100%. You'll see him early. You'll see him the first game or two on the show. But once that transition hits, it's going to be, you know, out. It's going to be I'm going to, you know, something different.
And, I mean, is that – am I wrong that that's not much different than what the quote-unquote softer urethane was?
Correct.
I don't see what the lefties, Mike. Jeff Rickles was yelling at me on Twitter, I felt like, today after I sent my tweet out. And he was saying that he was trying to educate me that it's not about the hook, that I'm looking at the wrong factor.
What is he saying you're supposed to look at?
I mean, I believe his point was that it's more about the control.
Uh-huh.
Right, which I agree with. I mean, I agree with like that. Sure. You know, that was kind of similar to what you were saying about you'll see it on the fresh and right, you won't see it on the carry down. So I kind of get that. But again, isn't that the same as what the other urethane was doing? Like, so what? Because you can stay in it maybe a half game less or a game less, it's going to make that big of a difference? I don't know. I mean,
I've been saying it forever. Like, this rule that's coming in to 2024 is going to affect the lefties way more than the righties. Way more than the righties.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, it's a simple fact that
the righties see so much more transition anyway.
Correct. 100%.
So, yeah.
100%. So we'll see how it rolls for the lefties. If the lefties are looking for the control,
mm-hmm. and these balls seem to provide some level of control.
The thing
they need is some hook to be able to create that control with carry and, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that these balls provide that.
They do. They do. I think for me, my opinion, that 78, you're going to see that get hit. You're going to see that getting hit with a ton of surface. They're going to be scorched earth on that surface. You're going to see 500 pads on that IQ on that 78. They're going to try to get that thing as low as grit as they can without sanding the logo off the ball.
No, Spags, I would bet that someone will win with it eventually. I just don't know if someone will win with it this year. Right? I don't know if it'll happen in this season, But here's my thing. Here's what I tweeted out. And I know I was saying this tongue in cheek, but I'm not going to lie. I'm somewhat serious about this. I think it's somewhat of a serious point. Not that I want to contribute to continuing the urethane conversation in any way, shape, or form, but listen, if these balls get used a lot, if these 78U balls get used a lot and they're effective, even in a way that they're used for a few games of a qualifying block and then switch to something else, and perhaps the lefties can use them a couple additional games past that and have to switch to something for the last couple games of a really long, deep block, which we don't even see all the time on tour. Okay, I could keep going if you want me to, but here's my overall point. If these balls are even, let's say, a 6 or 7 out of 10 effective, okay, I really have to ask the question, then what the hell was the banning of the Purple Hammers route about? I mean, what was that? What was the chorus of the calls for the harder urethane? Because the chorus of calls for the harder urethane was really about, oh, these balls won't hook as much. These balls aren't going to hook as much. They're not going to be as usable. It's going to force guys to get to not use this tool.
I still think
on an as regular basis. Okay. And Rob, you know exactly where I'm going with this. I think it's still going to be the case too. I think it's, oh, wait, are you saying it's going to be the case that they're not able to use it?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I don't. Nope. I'm going into this season thinking we are going to see a lot of this going down the lane. We are going to see a lot of players be able to use these balls to control things the way that they have in the past. And if that is the case, if it's even close to the case, I'm really going to have to call bullshit on the chorus of people who were calling for the harder urethane for these reasons. Because what it will result in is that we have urethane that might be minusculely different from the previous urethane we had, but we also ban a whole section of balls that were some of the best balls that the industry has ever seen. So
I'd be interested. I'm going to be interested if I end up drilling a 78, like whatever the hammer is that comes out. I'll be interested to drill one and then throw it myself compared to the purple and really see what the difference is, because I did that with the new and there is definitely a difference between the new and the purple.
Lou says, the word control is funny. He found the purple hammer to be the least controllable ball of any modern urethane. And I agree with that. But when I say control, I mean control with hook. Like, you have to have hook, but you also need the control as compared to if I were to throw, let's say, shiny resin on something short and the ball's just peeling off the back of the lane. Whereas with the purple hammer, the ball's going to hook. It's going to give me enough hook that I like to see, but it's also going to provide that control where it's not.
Oh, I think you're missing a point here, though. I think you're missing a point. I don't want to go through the whole urethane, like spend the whole show talking about urethane, but I think you're missing the point. You talk about control, but what the Purple Hammer was doing so amazing and the Pitch Black was doing so amazing, it was giving control with carry, okay? Now, I could throw a urethane.
That's what I mean by hook.
Right, so what I'm saying is I could throw any urethane.
Down 10.
I could throw any urethane out there right now. Well, I could throw a 1980, Blue Hammer.
But am I
going to score, right? That's why the Purple Hammer and the Pitch Black were so good. Because guys like Buttriff and Svensson and all these guys throwing the urethane they were able to average 230, 240, 220 with these urethane balls. So it was giving them control and they were kicking out the 10. Now, will the 78U or the, you know, the 78, they might give them control, but is it going to give them scores? And is it going to give them carry? That's going to be what the biggest differential between those balls are going to be. And we're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, kind of brings us to our first wrap-up topic here, right?
Yes.
Which was, what were the biggest stories of 2023?
I made a list.
So I feel like we got that one out of the way.
We did. Right? Urethane.
We're not going to get into a deep discussion talking on that. It continues. It will continue to be a part of, a big story, right? For
hopefully the next we year, hear the end of it. You know.
Okay. So
the string pins we talked about. Yeah, right?
True.
We knocked that out.
Yeah,
String pin certification.
Yeah, I would definitely have that on my list. Bill Chrisman.
Bill Chrisman
in the bowling community. Like, definitely one of the more impactful stories of the year. Right. 100%. Would definitely have to be on my my yearly wrap list.
100%.
The USBC debacles.
Oh, the lane oiling debacle. Yeah. That was my favorite part. That was my favorite story of 2024. I mean, that wasn't the most impactful, but it was definitely my favorite part of 2023 was the Grand Rapids, the PWBA Grand Rapids Classic lane debacle, as well as the 2023 Queens. But then, like,
I love that we had like a little sweep the rack investigation.
We did, and then we reached out to Chad. Remember, and then we got some answers from Chad that we didn't really agree with. And you know, that could happen, right? We don't have to agree, and I mean, safe to say, Mike, I told him I don't agree with you, right? Did I not say that? And I said to him, like, come on, man, like you gotta be upfront with us about this shit. Like, this shit, like, can't. I mean, you saw the video, right? And like, and then he kind of just like backed away from the whole convo, and he didn't want to respond anymore. And he kind of got, I think, a little bit angry at us. But I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, I mean, you know, you saw the videos, and we saw the like streaming, the recording of the practice of these, you know, poor women missing the head pin left and picking three off the left and all kinds of shit. And then the USBC denying anything ever was wrong.
Nothing's
wrong.
Kegel
coming out.
It's topography.
I know. And then there was fines, right, Nico? Players were getting fines for speaking the truth. And then all kinds of shit, man. What a crazy story. I went to took that happening, at any PBA, PWBA tournament in my lifetime. But, you know, we saw it. We lived through it. We spoke about it. We had some good content we made, you know, for a few weeks about it. And, yeah, what a crazy story that was.
My biggest story of the year, best story of the year for 2023 at the top of my list would probably be the changes to the tour for next year.
Oh, that there's a lot of changes. I mean, we could talk through it. The PBA agreement with Fox, right? Yeah. They extended a 2-year deal, the Bowl TV deal, right, with Bolero for another year, right?
Yeah.
And then you talk about a lot of the league changes, and there was a lot of other stuff they did, you know.
Yeah, and just the new schedule this year. I'm somewhat excited for it. You know, I mean, there's a couple things that I'd like to tinker with.
Some more gambling,
but there was
some more gambling. Gambling opened up for you, right, in New Jersey?
I'll be honest. I don't feel like that is I don't feel like it's big enough yet.
Okay. Well, maybe
I don't feel like it's big enough. I don't feel like it's accessible enough.
Okay.
You know, but I obviously I'd like to see that be the big story for 2024. You know, that would be amazing. But nonetheless, I do think that there's a lot to look forward to.
I believe, yep.
Excuse me, in terms of the PBA tour this year. And yeah. I'm excited for that. And I can't wait for the season to start and just follow things as they develop and watch the PBA league matches and see where they go with that product. I mean, obviously, I've said on here before that I think they should do even more with that. But, you know, again, just excited for the direction that it's going in. And when they started to release the schedule information, you know, everything that I was seeing was something that was like I really agreed with as a fan. And to me, that makes it somewhat exciting.
I agree. I think it was good to see bowling still have all that TV time. Bolero still, you know, throwing money at it. I think there's been always a worry that, you know, Bolero will eventually kind of go away from the PBA tour, right? We always talked about how long is this sustainable for what Bolero is doing with all the money investing, right? So every year that they have the tournaments scheduled, the TV time, and the money invested in it is always going to be a positive year for bowling in general, right? Especially the competitive side of it. So, you know, shouts to kudos to Bolero, you know, and kudos to like the PBA and for all the deals and the TV deals, and for us to have bowling on as much as it is in 2024 is a big deal. And I always want to see a more entertaining product. I think that is going to lead to more ratings. Hopefully they could work some stuff out where we start seeing some more creative content outside the lanes for the fans.
True.
I want to talk about 2023 and the complete and utter domination from EJ Tackett and Anthony Simonson. To me, what they did this year was reminding me of the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire chase for home runs in baseball. Keep in mind, Simo and Tackett, I'm pretty confident saying, are both not on steroids. But at the time that was happening in baseball, like, that wasn't what people were talking about. People were talking about the chase for, you know, 72 was it at the time, the home run record?
Yeah, 62.
Was it 62?
I think so.
And I think that was very similar to what EJ and Simo did this year. I mean, Simo had a year for the ages. The guy cashed, I think, top 10 in every tour stop he bowled, right? Which is crazy, and still didn't win player of the year.
Finished top 10, yeah.
He did. And Tackett, I mean, what a year he had. I was looking at his stats, and I was like, unbelievable. I mean, the kid had 5 titles, okay, 13 cashes, averaged 227 for 21 events, and made $458,000 in prize money. And also just had a baby, right? So, I mean, what an amazing year for EJ Tackett. I would have to probably go out and say this is probably the best year of his life, right? Like, career-wise and just in general, right? Simo, now compare these stats with Simo's. Tackett had 13 cashes, right? Simo bowled same amount of events, 21 events, $347,000 in prize money, only averaged 2 pins less than Tackett, 225. Actually had more games than Tackett, both 488 games compared to Tackett's 446 games, 2 titles, and Mike had 3 more cashes than Tackett, 16 cashes, which is an unbelievable year. And then Belmo finished third with a puny $338,000 in 20 events with 1 title, 12 cashes. So, I mean, talk about a crazy year for Tackett and Simo. Yeah, so that was my, like, big storyline of 2023, the complete and utter dominance and winning breakout year for EJ Tackett. Lumber's got a good question here, and I want to read it,
Mike. It's historical season.
It was huge for those.
Historical season. You know, I know that Roth had a season where he won 8 titles, if I'm correct. You know, I know Walter Ray had numerous seasons where he won multiple titles, right? I'm sure Duke, Weber, Parker, there's numerous guys who have had seasons where they've won numerous titles that, you know, like EJ Tackett did this year with the 5 titles. And I think what it says about EJ Tackett is that, yeah, we're probably looking at one of the all-time greats here. You know, when it's all said and done, he's probably going to be in the top five, you know, career-wise of any player ever to bowl on tour. You know, if things continue in the current trend, you know, and to me, this year was sort of like him breaking out and learning how to win. So who knows where it goes from here?
Well, that's right? My question. Let's play a little game here real quick, a few minutes. This is going to be the hardest question you'll have to answer, but who has the better year in 2024, EJ Tackett or Anthony Simonson? I mean, how could you choose, right, at this point? And I'm going to pick Simo.
I would pick Simo, too, because of his versatility.
Versatility and his just being consistent.
Yeah, you know, I...
But there's
if we're talking most impressive or most dominating performance of 2023, I'm giving that to Simo as well. The Masters. I mean, he shot 860 something in the final round, and then blasted them on TV to end it in one game. So like, you know, we're lucky. We're lucky as fans that we get to see these two players bowl at the same time in the same era, right? It's.
I hope a little bit of a, and I know it already has, but I hope after this year there is a little bit more of a rivalry between these two going forward.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Great. Especially after this year, knowing I hope Sarko has a chip on his shoulder bowling this year.
Honestly. Yeah, we haven't had something like that in bowling. And I know people will say, oh, Pete and Walter, you know, but here was the problem. Like a lot of time, most of the times when they matched up against each other, Walter won, you know? So to me, it was somewhat of a one-sided rivalry to some degree. So yeah, I think this combination definitely has the potential to be a more even-sided rivalry between these two players.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of underlying little bit of a rivalry here. That a topic is the fact that Simo's two-handed and Tackett is one-handed. So I think that also separates a lot of the people who watch, the fans, right?
True.
People want to root for Tackett because he's one-handed, and people want to root against Simo because Simo's two-handed, and Simo's also hasn't been the nicest guy on TV, right? And hasn't been the most likable person on TV. And I think a lot of people don't like him because of that. You know, it's just the same
thing. Reminds
you of Pete Weber. People don't like Belmo because Belmo comes off sometimes, you know, bad on TV.
People who don't like Belmo are just... They're just looking for someone not to like.
Honestly. Well, they don't. But this is the thing is like,
Belmo's like a likable guy. He doesn't anything.
I could be off here. I could be off here, Mike. But I think I'm on to something here. This has the ability to be a lot of a better rivalry than Belmo Rash, because Belmo Rash was kind of the same thing. The reason why that rivalry really never really blossomed was because, to be honest with you, Belmo was just so good, and Belmo was just winning everything. And there was really never that, you know, back and forth where Rash was winning player of the year, then Belmo was winning player of the year. They never really went back and forth like that. Belmo just completely, you know, was dominant for so long. But I think Tackett Simo has the opportunity for them going back and forth, right? Player of the year, back this, you know, and I feel like they're going to see each other so much on TV that it could really end up being like one of the future probably better or best rivalries we've ever seen on tour, and I hope that's the case. And you know, there's a little bit of hope that they really don't like each other personally, so that's not even gets a little bit more nastier. But you know, I know that's probably not the case, but you know, there's always that hope for me, Mike.
Robert Hamilton, Rob, is trying to drag us into next year.
No, we're gonna
hear, he wants to hear who we have as breakout player for next year, who wins their first title. Robert Hamilton, come on, bro. We got to tease people, bro. We can't be giving them that right now. Come back in January. You want to hear our picks for next year? Come back in January. We're talking about 2023. Robert Hamilton. I'll tell you who my breakout player was for 2023. It was Kevin McCune.
Right? What? Matt Ogle?
No, it was Kevin McCune. It was Kevin McCune. $100,000 win. $100,000 win against Murderers Row. Against Murderers Row. You know, no. It was. Sorry.
Matt Ogle. Matt Ogle, $114,000 in earnings, had his title.
How about Packy? How about Packy? I mean,
sixth in points.
You know, that's another one. But
Ogle had the breakout player of the year. But let me talk about who had the worst performance of 2023. Okay. We talk about the best performance, Mike. As Sweep the Rack, we're going to talk about who had the worst performance of 2023. Brad Miller, Mike. Brad Miller. I'm sorry, buddy. You know, thankfully, you have that YouTube channel going. 62nd in points. Average 209. The website is a mistake here because it shows in the website he made $1,850. It looks like he only had one cash. So he bowled 16 events, one cash, and probably was injured. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he probably had an injury. But that would be my player of the person who, you know, probably had the worst year on tour.
I'd probably go with Michael Tang.
Okay.
I mean, from what I saw, like after his year on tour, he decided to start going two-handed. So I don't know. Never a great sign. Never a great sign when you get done a season on tour and decide, you know what, I need to throw with an extra hand. Obviously was struggling out there. You know, obviously if you're doing that, you're looking around while you're bowling and you're like, yeah, something's got to give here. You know, I either got to strap it up or keep it moving.
Yeah, I was going to give it to Simonelli, but I couldn't after the PBA League performance. I think he bailed himself out of the dumpster diving of 2023 because he finished 69th in points with 15 events, but had that phenomenal performance at the league. So I feel like that kind of took him out of that. You know, but going into the league, I would have probably put him on that. So, yeah, 2023, there's some other interesting stories. I kind of one other one I want to talk about before we move it for the people is the breakout year for John Janowitz on the PBA 50. I think that needs some discussion.
Troy Lynn, if you're going to talk John Janowitz, you're going to talk Troy Lynn.
Troy Lynn. You know, but I believe John Janowitz
won Bowler of the Year for crying out loud.
He did, but John Janowitz, I'm talking breakout player. John Janowitz, I believe.
Well, where was Troy Lynn before this year? Troy Lynn
wasn't. But he bowled on tour, though. It wasn't a rookie.
Yeah, but still. I mean, John Janowitz has Team USA experience out the wazoo, John Janowitz, okay? Mm-hmm. Troy Lint is a local grinder, okay? The breakout guy on the PBA 50 was Troy Lint, okay? There's no discussion there. I don't want to hear John Janowitz. Much love to John Janowitz. Much love to Tom Hess, too, somebody in the chat is saying. But, Rob, John Janowitz, Team USA, I mean, I expect him to go out there and win. I'd be more surprised if he didn't have a lot of success. But Troy Lint, I mean, Troy Lint bowls UBA. Like, yeah, like he's a local grinder type player. And he goes out there and he's competing with the best in the world, guys that he grew up watching, I'm sure, you know, so.
I'll be curious to see how Troy Lynn fares next year with the urethane hardness rule, Mike.
One of my big stories of the year would be Rudy Rev showing up in our chat, bro. How about that? I'm still not over that.
Dude, I love it. But yeah, I mean, you know, we got to shove, you know, and then also for the women, Jordan Richard. In the PWBA, you know, it was just a phenomenal year she had, and you know, the women being back to, I mean, you know, they've been back for a little bit, but their tour is great. And as a fan, I've always enjoyed watching the women actually more than the men. So, Oh, Rudy's back in the chat, man. Look at that. 2 weeks in a row, man. Making
our fan. He's a fan. He's a friend of the show now. He's here 2 weeks in a row.
I know. I can't wait to do his interview. I gotta reach out.
Oh, this is a sleeper topic. Great comment, Fred. The O'Keefe's moving on from McKendry. That is a big story. That is a big story. That's actually a story, Fred, that I'd like to hear the details on. I'd like to hear, like, why and what and what was the motivation and how about the deal they're getting? And, you know, I'd really like to hear the details on that. So, all right, Rob, are we ready to wrap it up for the people here? Did we talk enough 2023, or you got anything else you want to throw out there?
I kind of want to bring up the USBC oiling mishaps again. That was
USBC had a tough 2023.
Dude, right? They had a tough 2023. I think 2024 would be better for them just because I don't think it could get worse. But it could get worse. I mean, you never know with them, right? But we'll see. Hopefully they don't do and have all the mishaps they had. I mean, they had a college bowling mishaps, they had urethane mishaps, and oh Lord, I'm pretty sure they're happy to move on from this year. So yeah, let's give it to the people. They should actually probably win worst of the year.
Lumber Flexual, you're getting ahead of yourself, bro. You're getting ahead of yourself, bro.
You gotta read it. You gotta read it.
Calm down, Lumber Flexual. Calm down.
You gotta read it for audio. I'll read it for audio.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Hold on, wait. I gotta read the comments so people in the audio know what they're saying. Lumber wants us to talk about the coach who slept with one of the student players and then acted like he was God's gift to women.
All right, remember that perfect intro. Let's go.
That story, man.
It's the perfect intro. Come on. All right, Rob, when we're wrapping up the year on our yearly wrap show, we always do worst of the year, which is our worst, our best worst of the week of the year, right? So Lumber Flexual coming in hot to the chat, and yeah, definitely got to nominate the coach, the college bowling coach who was sleeping with his students, and his comments in the article, instead of just saying no comment, you know, no comment, refer to my lawyer. He had some wild ass comments in that article in the interview. So yeah, that would definitely be up there for me. But in general, generally speaking, my worst of the year award would go to the Bowling Science Forum on Facebook. You know, it's just so deep with worst of the week type posts and type material that
okay.
I had to swear off of it for a little while.
It's a little sad for me because it really identifies how much uneducation there is in our sport. It really does. And I see questions from people and they don't really have anywhere else to go to ask these questions, which makes me a little bit sad that they don't trust their pro shop people and they don't trust people around them to like ask these questions, that they put it on the message boards. And a lot of people that ask these questions are newer to the sport, which I get, right? But the people that aren't new to the sport and that are answering the questions are worse than the people answering the questions. I mean, I've seen some terrible, terrible answers, terrible advice. People, the worst thing you could do is put a video of yourself bowling on that science forum and ask people for advice. These people have
people
no
clue. Ask you a question, they get 34 different answers,
and 32 of them are normally wrong. And once in a while, I'll post an answer because I see something that I feel like it needs to be like answered in a correct way. Now, like, it has to be at least I remember I saw a video of someone posted a picture of their like 13-year-old kid and they wanted to like know like what they should do or wear a wrist brace, and I'm just like, no, like, unless the kid has, you know, problems with his wrist or some kind of like physical ailments that can't hold the strength of a ball, like, you should never ever put a 13-year-old a boy right in a wrist brace. right? Females are different, right? Because, you know, that's just females aren't stronger in the wrist than the guys are. Obviously, guys have a lot of, you know, wrist strength from doing certain things. But anyway, I'm off track here. It's sad because of the state of bowling is a little bit of just a lot of uneducation. And I think that's why that's message boards a little bit sad for me. But man, the content we get from that is unbelievable. Some of the shit that gets posted on that. They love, what is it with that forum that loves, they love short pin layouts. Everything that they ask Mikey question is, oh, lay that out with a 1-inch pin. I'm just like, what? Like, no, don't lay it out unless you have like a 500 rev rate. Like, Mike, I got a question I got to ask you from Roger. He's, you know, hit me up. He wants to know what your favorite ball, and if you had to pick one ball, what your current line, what would you pick?
What do you mean? Out of the balls that I have?
Just the current line, if you were to make, I guess. You
can
make
current line, meaning any ball that's out right now?
Any ball that's out right now.
I'd have to say IQ Tour.
Ooh, the original OG
IQ Tour. I mean, I find that ball to be...
I mean, it's got to be the Purple Hammer, right?
Nah, not versatile enough for me. No. I would say that the IQ Tour is definitely a versatile but really good ball for my purposes anyway. Dude, Steve Lemke, the coach, I had to go back and look the article up. The coach, some of these quotes, he said, I knew it was kind of a no-no. There's not a rule saying that it can't happen. There's not a law saying I'm going to go to jail for doing something like this, Steve said. There's nothing in stone. I guess it's just an ethics code. Like, we frown upon it, but there's no rule. There's no law broken. Oh, my goodness. Jeez, Louise. God bless this lady. It didn't have anything in detail, Steve said. It was just about how amazing I am, basically, in general perspective. Amber saw that and questioned me, and I got to the point where it just built up so much that I basically told her the truth after she dug through my phone. I was the stay-at-home dad for 5 years with the kids, while Amber got to go off and coach the team, and when she'd get back, I'd run practices on top of taking care of the kids while she was back. When they'd travel again, I would sit back and take care of the kids. Then when I got hired on, she almost forced me to run practices. I was a volunteer the entire time before that, trying to help out Amber. Once I got hired on, one thing stemmed from another. I felt like I was doing too much for what I was being valued at. Oh, geez. Man, definitely worst of the year. No question. Stephen F. Austin University assistant coach Steve Lemke. Worst of the year, bro. Worst of the year, bro. Okay.
Well deserved too. What a shit show that was.
Oh my God.
So my worst of the year, and I'm trying to pull this video out again to show people. But it's a hard one for me to find because it's dug into somewhere on our social media page. But if anybody missed it, I put a video out a few months back about a woman who was breastfeeding a child while she was bowling. And I would love to show that video again, but I'm not going to. One, because I can't find it. And the other part of it is I kind of don't want to see it anymore. But I love to be able to see people's reactions when they first saw that video. What a shit show that was. That was my worst of the year of the lady breastfeeding while she was bowling. It was a toss up between that and the lady who knocked out her husband or boyfriend with a bowling ball and then threw a strike. That video.
Yeah.
That was up there too. So anyway.
Breastfeeding while bowling, worst of the year.
But yeah, I do like the Lemke. I do like the Lemke pick. I think that's a solid worst of the year. Mike, I think you've won 2 years in a row worst of the year. Congrats. I think you're the king of the worst of the year. you managed to pick all the nonsense out there. So
I bring the heat to worst of the week. Okay.
Nothing is as good as last year's worst of the week, though. Depression, anger.
Worst of the week, the worst of the year winner last year is an absolute all time. If we keep doing this podcast and we reach 10 years and we do a worst of the decade, that's going to be the winner. Okay.
Yeah. Nico has it right. Frustration, rage, and depression. That's
so good.
Fucking the best.
Oh, it's so good. I say that when I'm bowling in the sport thing so often. I just yell it out.
That might be my 2024 slogan, bowling this next year.
It's great. We'll see. It's amazing. Yo, listen. Final thought. Oh, we got to do the outro.
I got to finish the graphic.
Cutting off the worst of the week graphic. Yeah, how dare I? Final thoughts. Final thoughts. I want to say, give the biggest of shouts. The biggest of shouts to our fans and our little community here and our listeners. I don't even want to use the word fans. That's a corny word to use. I feel like our listeners, the people that are a part of our community, you know, our regular people here,
people in the chat, the fam.
Show up, you know, those are the people. Those are the people that I want to give a shout to. I want to wish you guys all happy holidays and a happy new year. You know, I hope you're all able to spend some time and, spend some time with your families and enjoy some time with your families. I thoroughly enjoy doing this podcast, but, you know, I will say, and I always love talking about bowling, especially when it comes to breaking down the action that occurs on tour and whatnot. But I got to say, though, like having a small community of people here, that we can show up every week and kind of chop it up with, definitely is one of the highlights of creating this, you know, and doing this. And I had a couple chances this year to get together with some people. You know, I saw Tim in the chat tonight and Andrew in the chat tonight, who were amongst those folks that I got together with. And, you know, it's just great. It's awesome. Jimmy came out for the PBA players at Carolier, and that was amazing. You know, so yeah, it was really just a great year in terms of the podcast and the community we built, and getting to meet some of the people that are behind the avatars and behind the comments here. And yeah, I just really hope that you guys all have a great holiday and a great start to the new year. And I'm really excited to keep it going, you know, next year. And I'm excited for the tour to come back. So we all have action to talk shit about.
Yeah, well said, Mike. We do this. We don't do this for obviously the money. We don't make any money doing this.
No, it costs us money to do this podcast.
It costs us money to do this.
It's nominal. It's nominal to us, but, and it's fine.
We don't do this for the money. We do this.
We don't do it for the money. We don't do it for the recognition or anything of that nature. We do it because we love bowling. You know, we love bowling.
We love chopping it up. And sometimes the bowling community and the unbiased bowling community needs a voice for some of the shit that goes down. And I feel like we are that voice to a certain extent, because we're not sponsored by any companies. We don't have any skin in the game, Mike. We are very unbiased, and we are very honest, and we are open, and we are transparent. Sometimes people like it. Sometimes we annoy people. We get some – I mean, we've almost had some fights this year because of it. But that's because we're passionate, we're honest, and we're transparent. And sometimes honesty and transparency these days are taken the wrong way, and it rubs people the wrong way. They want you to not be that way, and we'll never stop being that. That's just the way we are. It's our personality. My final thought, and this is a little bit more of a somber ending. It is my prayers and my thoughts and my well wishes go out to Lenny Borish. And Lenny Borish put a Facebook post, and the bowling community is small. And I don't know Lenny personally. I know of him, and I know how great of a bowler he is. I mean, he's a top senior bowler. Every year he wins tournaments. And he was diagnosed with a small cell like carcinoma. It's a very rare prostate cancer. And, you know, I've been through, you know, a type of cancer in my life when I was younger, and it's not even close to what he's going through, but I understand how hard it is. And I wish nothing but the best, well wishes, recovery. And, you know, if you can support, I know he put out a GoFundMe to help him out. You know, I would encourage everybody to go do that. So, yeah, so that's my final thoughts. And, you know, our prayers are with you, Lenny.
Yeah, no doubt. Hate to see that. You know, hate to see that. Hate to see somebody in the community going through that. You know, it's tough. So we've all been touched by that terrible disease in one way or another, I'm sure. So, you know, a lot of us can relate to what that's like. But, you know, good somber way to end the show, Rob, but an important and a worthy way to wrap up 2023 for us here at Sweep the Rack. So, listen, folks, that's it. All right. We ain't going to be on next week. Everybody enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the new year. And we will catch you guys likely, I guess it'll be January 4th, right? Tuesday, 3rd, 4th. Yeah, January 4th is likely will be our next show.
Hey, Mike, hopefully everybody gets the newest and latest and longest and strongest, greatest bowling ball ever under their Christmas trees, menorahs, you know, whatever holiday you guys, you know, celebrate. And hopefully you guys run to the pro shop on December, you know, 26th. And you're there at 8 a.m. to drill, and you're, you know, shooting your 800s and 300s, because that's, you know, that's where we are. So enjoy it, everyone.
All right, guys, everybody, reach out to us through email, sweeptherack@gmail.com. Hit us up on social media. We're on Twitter most of the time. I'm at the 215th. Rob is at BrooklynRob11. That's it. Everybody enjoy the holiday. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.